can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? I want to read that to you now from the Message Bible. Remember, David's captive right now by the Philistines. Take my side, God. I'm getting kicked around, stomped on every day. Not a day goes by, but somebody beats me up. They make it their duty to beat me up. When I get really afraid, I come to you in trust. I'm proud to praise God. Fearless now, I trust in God. What can mere mortals do? They don't let up. They smear my reputation and huddle to plot my collapse. They hang up and they gang up and they sneak together through the alleys to take me by surprise, waiting their chance to get me. Pay them back in evil. Get angry, God. Down with these people. You've kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear entered into your ledger, each ache written in your book. If my enemies run away, turn tail when I yell at them, then I'll know that God is on my side. I am proud to praise God, proud to praise God, fearless now. I trust in God. What can mere mortals do to me? God, you did everything you promised. And I'm thanking you with all my heart. You pulled me from the brink of death, my feet from the cliff edge of doom. Now I stroll at leisure with God in the sunlit fields of life. David, now captured and in prison, his life at this point hangs in the balance. And I can imagine how all the Philistines were celebrating his capture. Oh, great giant killer you are. What are you going to do now? You're not so great, are you? Who are you going to call on now, they're saying. They're mocking him. Although David was in prison, David's God was not in prison. David's God was still on the throne. David's God was still great and worthy to be praised. So what does David do? What would you have done? I don't know about you, but I'd be raising a hallelujah just like he did. David raised a hallelujah in the presence of his enemies. In Psalm 8, verse 2, which David wrote, says, from the mouths of children and babes come songs of praise to you. They sing of your power to silence your enemies who are seeking revenge. He knew. In Matthew 21, verse 16, Jesus quoted this saying with his own words, "Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you, God, have perfected praise." Psalm 56, 10 and 11, David said, "In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word." His word works. It is powerful. And David knew it. How about you? There was a couple, just a couple of them, and I thought I'd get a whole congregation that said, "Amen." That tells me, everybody word up. And like David, you will be able to say what it says in verse 11. "In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" He was quoting the word. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Word up! Romans 8, 31, the Living Bible. "If God is on our side, who can ever at any time be against us?" Wow! Can you wrap around that one and grab a hold of it? For David at this point had nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. Things seemed to be that David was down to nothing. And when it seems that you're down to nothing, remember, God's up to something. He's on your side. In verse 1 and 4 there, Psalm 56, David declares that God is merciful. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High." God not only knows what's going on in your life, but He cares about what's going on in your life. And He's also very much interested in about how you react to what's going on in your life. Are you reacting in fear or are you reacting in faith? You know how you react in faith? Word up! Verse 3. David said, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" When reading this, though, then I couldn't help but think how David was a man of faith and also a man after God's own heart. But when we read here, it says, "Whenever I'm afraid, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." Well, this should give us all hope and courage, because no matter how many triumphs and accomplishments we read about David, he had times when he was afraid. After all, he was still a man. He was flesh and bone, just like you and me. Like David, we all get caught up in the moment and what we think we are capable of. Uh-oh. But the real reality of the situation always comes back to God's capabilities and God's capabilities alone. Trust, lean, and rely on Him, folks. In the time of need, you need to get your praise on. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies, just as David did. And as David said, "I am proud to praise God." Fearless now, because when you get your praise on, whoo, does that bring back power to you, right? Especially right in the midst of your enemies. Your enemies seem to fade away when you went to praise. And you like to make them fade away. I trust in God. What can mere mortals do to me? Another way of saying that, if God be for me, who can be against me? Let's say that. If God be for me, who can be against me? You know, and the devil doesn't want you to say that. Because he knows the more that you say that, the more that you'll believe that, and the stronger your faith will get. And he knows if God is for you, then for us, nothing else matters. Nothing else should matter. Because in 1 Peter 5:7, the Living Bible, which says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you, and he's watching everything that concerns you. Every time you have a concern, remember, God looks at everything that's concerning you. Yeah. See, what are you supposed to do? Give it to him.
That was easy.
Come on. While David recognized God's mercy, by David's own words, God recognized David's faith. Your words have power, folks. Use them wisely. Use them to your benefit. Use them to your enemy's demise. And you do that when you word up. David reminds us and declares that God is mighty and true to his word in verses 12 and 13. The Message Bible. God, you did everything you promised. And I'm thanking you with all my heart. He promised to deliver you. Thank him. You pulled me from the brink of death, my feet from the cliff edge of doom. Now I stroll at leisure with God in the sunlit fields of life. God had rescued David, and for that David was very, very grateful. He's thanking God with all of his heart. He was offering up his thanks for keeping his promises. What are his promises? His word. His word. What do we need to do? That's right. Church, God keeps his promises. Keeps his word. And the truth is that sometimes we need to be reminded of this, don't we? That God keeps his promises and keeps his word to us consistently. Consistently. Without variation. Without variation. When we're the ones going through the difficulties, when we're the ones down to the valley, sometimes it seems that we are doing it, though, all on our own. When we're down there in that valley, realize he's with you. You're not alone. And David reminds us in the scripture that nothing could be further from the truth. That he's there with us. He knows every detail. Psalm 56, verse 8 of the Message Bible says, you've kept track of my every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. Each tear entered into your ledger, each ache written in your book. David reminds us here that God is mindful and aware of each and everything that we go through. And he is not only there with us, but he also keeps a perfect record. Yes, a detailed record of what happens when we go through the trial. Fear, check. Fear, check. Oh, faith, check. Faith, check. Faith, check. You're starting to word up. Faith, check, check. You get a whole bunch of check marks under the faith category instead of the fear category. When you trust in Him with your whole heart and lean not onto your own understanding, right? Yeah. Even in our deepest sorrow, God cares. Jesus reminded us of how much God understands us and knows us in detail in Matthew 10:30 of the Message Bible. Matthew 10:30 of the Message Bible. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. Why are you laughing? When you find yourself wavering, when you feel so discouraged that you are sure, you're sure no one understands, remember that God knows every problem and He sees every one of your fears. That's why He's there for you. And there's an old church hymn, and it's called, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Now, can you imagine just for a moment the attentiveness that it would take to capture a tear running down someone's eye just before it evaporates? Folks, He cares. He cares. Here's what the short version of what David was really saying. I know that my enemies are going to be turned back. I know that God is going to give me victory over my enemies. I know that God is going to give me victory over my trouble and my trials because God is for me. Simply put, David said, God is on my side. When it seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong, God is for me. When it seems like nobody cares about what's going on in my life, God is for me. When the valley is so deep that it seems to never run out and the top of the mountain is out of sight, God is still and will always and forevermore be for me. That's what you need to say. He is for me. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. June Carter. Remember her? I'm looking at a truck driver over there. Went, yeah, I know that. There's another one back there. Yeah, I heard that. Well, June Carter wrote a song called Keep on the Sunny Side. Well, there's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side, too. But if you meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Let us greet with a song of hope each day, though the moments be cloudy or fair. Let us trust in our Savior always to keep us, everyone, in His care. Keep on the sunny side of life. It's your choice. It's what you reflect on. Because you got to remember, He cares. He cares. Hebrews 13:5. Thank you there, Uncle Frank, for that. Hebrews 13:5. Oh, I know, Dean, you're ready. Amplified. We got to go Amplified Classic on this. He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. To keep on the sunny side of life, Remember that no matter what may happen, God himself said, I will never leave you. He said, I will not relax my hold on you. He will never let go of you. In a song, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will fear no evil. For my God is with me. Whom shall I fear? He'll never let go through the calm and through the storm. He'll never let go in every high and every low. He'll never let go of you. He's not going to relax that hold. Again, I'm reminded of a Avengers movie with Thor and his brother, okay, Loki. You can imagine, Loki, yeah, he was. It's near the end of one of the movies, and they break the bridge and the portal that they could travel through. And Loki's falling, Thor's falling, and the father reaches out, grabs a hold of Thor. Thor has a hold of the scepter on this end, and Loki has a hold on the other end. And the father wanted to pull them both up. And Thor kept yelling down, don't let go, Loki. There's hope. Don't let go. Loki let go. Don't let go, because he's not going to let go of you. Now, probably he would have had a hand clenched, but he didn't. So he wasn't connected. Stay connected. Stay worded up. When Joseph was in prison, you know what gave him hope? When Paul and Silas were shackled and chained, do you know what gave them hope? It was the same thing that gave David hope in the Philistine captivity. He knew God was for him, would never leave him, and would never forsake him. He would never let go of him. And for him, nothing else mattered. If you're in a serious situation, like David was, we need to do the same thing that David did and realize that God is for you. And God is on your side. It's on your side. You know, a lot of us face a lot of things in our workplaces. I know. I came out of the workplace. There are people that will support you. And they're there. There are people who support you and help you along. And then there's others who just won't go out of the way to do anything to help you at all. You're like on your own. Even if it's a new job. And you know what? After you say, it's okay, Lord. It's me and you, right? I can trust you. You can teach me and you can show me all things. And I can be a blessing to my employer. And that's what we have to do. We need to rejoice just as they did, because we serve the same great God that they served. The same God that took Joseph from the prison to the palace. The same God we serve. The same God that shook the prison walls for Paul and Silas. We serve the same God. And the same God that delivered David from the hands of the Philistines, and that same God, still just as powerful today. And he's still on the throne. It's the God we serve. And still just as attentive as he was with David when he wrote Psalm 56. He's that attentive to you. He cares that much. He knows when tears are coming down. He keeps track of them. The enemy's going to pay. We already know that. We read the end of the story. We are victorious. And to stay victorious in this life, we must stay worded up. And if today we were to ask David the question, David, how did you know those days in captivity weren't your last days? How did you know that the prayers you lifted up weren't in vain? How did you know, David, for sure that they weren't your last days and that your best days were still ahead of you? You know, if he could, he'd probably tell us, I believe, and that's what it took. I simply believed. I simply believed God's word. And he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And he was for me. And that's all I needed to know. And that's all we need to know. There's not some grand equation to figure out here. And there's not some long list of rules that we need to memorize. We make it hard. The same as salvation comes. It's a prayer. It's so simple. It's a simple prayer. But yet people stumble over the sheer simplicity of it. Simply believe. And trust him. Nothing's impossible for our God. He is the God of the impossible. Oh, amen. All you need to know is that God is for you. And that he loves you so very, very much. And know that he is not a respecter of persons. When he went to that cross, he didn't go there for Tim by himself. No, he didn't go there for Elder Bob or his wife Judy. He didn't go there just for Gary and Diane. He went for all of us. Equality. With him, there is equality. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. He respects you enough to treat you as every other child that he calls his own. What he freely gave to David, he will also freely give to you. Now, David was a Bible hero. David had great courage. David had great faith. And David was a man after God's own heart. And God wants you to know that you can be all those things too, and more. Really? Yeah. Question, was David greater than Jesus? No. Turn to John. John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. This is what Jesus had to say about greater things. Verily, verily, I say unto you all, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. God is for you because he is willing to make you his own. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave each and every one of us a personal invitation to become a king's kid. I've heard and I've read in papers, and plus I've watched it on TV and the news, where the Queen of England has called different men to be royal knights of England. Everyone from Paul McCartney, Elton John, to Billy Graham. And while that is a great honor, it fails most miserably in comparison when it is compared to being called a king's kid. If you're a king's kid, you should realize and know that he is for you and he has called you to greatness. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are still ahead of you. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. King's kids. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. King's kids. Excuse me. We are King's kids. King's kids. We have been called to be a child of God. A king's kid. And it's high time that we realize the importance of the position that we have been called to. Folks, you are royalty. You are royalty. Hold your head up high. Strut forward. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So let your light shine. Be like Nicky when he's all dressed up with them shining shoes and that. Ooh. He struts himself. Strut yourself in God. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Let people know your royalty. And if you let them know, they can become royalty too. They don't have to be knighted. They just need to accept Jesus. Simple. David did great things for the kingdom of God, and he never even realized the promise of the Savior. Realize that? Yeah. Greater things shall we accomplish because we have received the promise of the Savior. Our faith in Jesus is what makes it possible, and the fact that he cares so much for each and every one of us. Every promise that God ever made is not only available to us, but it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed to us because of our relationship. Relationship, relationship. That's what it's about. That is what we have through his Son, Jesus Christ. When we accepted him, we got reestablished with the Father. Because we appreciated what the Father just did for us. Sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for us. And he was obedient to go all the way to that cross. His broken body gave us healing. And his blood brought us salvation. Gave us a life of eternity because it washed us clean. Washed us clean. The Message Bible, verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 56. I'm proud to praise God. Proud to praise God. Fearless now. I trust in God. What can mere mortals do to me? God, you did everything you promised, and I'm thanking you with all my heart. You pulled me from the brink of death. My feet from the cliff edge of doom. We were on our way to hell. We were on our way to hell. We were ready to slip over and fall in. And the Father reached and grabbed a hold of us through his Son, Jesus. And he's not letting go. He'll never let go. And never relax his hold on you. Yet some people resist and try to pull off. Don't know why, but they do. says, now I stroll at leisure. Leisure with God in the sunlit fields of life. Leisurely. Well, if you're not at leisure with God, then you're doing more than you need to be doing. You're carrying more than you need to be carrying. Matthew 11, verse 30, Jesus said, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, but the Message Bible, it really brings it out. It says it like this. Are you tired? You worn out? You burned out on religion? Come to me. I'm going to say, establish a relationship. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced there. Rhythms of grace. His grace is sufficient, folks. I won't let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll live and learn to live freely and lightly. No matter what you are facing, God wants you to know it's only temporary. It's only temporary. You're in the midst of this storm. Remember, it's only temporary. Raise a hallelujah. The storm will come to an end. Not only is the sun at the end for you when you come through a storm, but Jesus, the Son of God, is with you through the storm. So why not simply rest in His ability from here on out instead of your own? Quit trying to do it on your own. Trust Him and know that all you need to know is if God is for me, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And how do you get to that point? Word up. Amen. Thank you. God bless.